or you have to have that, or look at how much greater it is in your walk if you know this secret thing about angels, or if you follow these regulations of don't touch and don't eat this, or if you come back to the law under these festivals, and there's all these add-ons to your faith that are going to bring you closer to Christ, when the truth is they don't do that at all. And I think the most important part of that, the part that really focuses in, that I would like us to look at and make sure we take away from it. Let's look at the last, I'm going to reread the last three verses in this chapter together, because I think this is the crux of it. Let's back up one more, verse 20 we'll start at. It says, "Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to regulations like do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men? These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility, and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh." It says, these which all concern, from verse 22, things which perish with the using. So what is the contrast? Right? These things that are brought up, these things that are distracting us from Jesus, this Jesus who he has presented in all of his glory and preeminence in chapter 1, he says now there's all these, the enemy wants to come in and give distractions. Wants to, here's this philosophy, here's these rules, here's these things about angels, here's some religion that you can add on to. And they distract from Christ, and it says that these things concern things which perish with the using. What does that mean? What does it mean for something to perish with the using? It's something that's it's a temporal thing, a temporary thing, right? The Scripture talks in 2 Corinthians about the things which are eternal versus the things which are temporal or temporary. Right, the things that are going to pass away. And so all these things are stuff that's rules and about stuff instead of a focus on the things which are eternal. And he says, these things, they have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion. Is that true? Now, you could say, well, of course it's true. We just read it out of the Bible. But think about it for a second. Is that true? Does someone who presents, oh, I follow these rules and now I'm much more spiritual. Hey, I do this. I found out this thing about angels and now I'm... Is that true? Does that sometimes have an appearance of wisdom? Yeah. Yeah, it sure does. In fact, a lot of the cults, they use those kind of things as a hook. Oh, well, did you know? Has your church been keeping this from you, this little secret bit of wisdom? It's used as a hook. Some groups will use it as like, well, we have a greater knowledge and wisdom. We have a greater understanding of these special truths that are being hidden from you. And it's used as a temptation to draw us away from what? The foundational things of Christ. It draws us away instead of bringing us closer to him. And it does legitimately have an appearance of wisdom. Right? It's not that people who get swept away by these things are fools. In many, many cases, they're not. In many cases, they are earnestly desiring. This could be any one of us. This could be one of you. And this isn't meant as a criticism. This is just a reality, is that these things appear to be wise. It appears to be, well, it does look like that, you know, like would make my spiritual walk better. And it draws us into those things. But we need to have a discernment. We always have to have our spiritual antenna up to be questioning those things. Does it? Does it really improve my relationship with the Lord Jesus or not? Right? Because this has an appearance of wisdom in what? Self-imposed religion, false humility, and the neglect of the body, but are of what? No value against the indulgence of the flesh. No value. So all of these things that seem to have, oh, this is going to make my walk with Jesus better. At the end of the day, it has no value. It doesn't actually do the job that it advertised that it did. It was false advertising. All it ended up being was a distraction. Right? And that's a real danger for us as believers, isn't it? And I think that's one of the reasons why in chapter 1 he started out with who Jesus is. And this was some of the questions that I asked. If you looked at some of these questions, some of the questions was, well, why wouldn't we want these things? Why does it create a conflict? Right? What makes this better than knowing Jesus? And hopefully the answer with each of those things that we end up coming to, what makes it better than knowing Jesus? Nothing. Because it's not. At the end of the day, it's false promises. It's a lure to draw us away from Christ. And the world is full of them. This wasn't me describing what it's like to be in a school or hanging out with friends or watching TV or flipping through videos on YouTube like today. This is Paul writing to a church of people who he didn't even know almost 2,000 years ago. And he could rattle off all of these different things, even back then. This is a mere couple of decades since Jesus was walking around and talking to people. And he already knew there was a whole list of things that could go on that people can add on to the gospel and add on to Jesus that has this appearance of wisdom. This is going to make you better in Christ. And it does not. Right? Because the enemy always is wanting to add on and lure in. Yeah.
But the interesting point is that if you compare the time, it's still the same today. And so basically it's that's how how our Lord actually works. It's even through times we can still see the same thing. It's kinda like a wake up call. Hey, yep. The fact that it happened probably 2,000 years ago is still remained the same thing today, so you have to watch out.
Right. There's a good principle. Whenever you're looking at the scripture, there's an important distinction to make. That all scripture is for us. Right? There are things for us to learn from every word throughout the entirety of scripture, from Genesis to Revelation. Yes? Right? Every bit of it is for us. But it isn't all to us. Right? Who is this to? This is to a group of believers in the city of Colossae who lived in around AD 60. That's who he was writing to. And yet, what do we find? We find principles that are absolutely just as true for the people who were living there as they are for us today. Right? So this is why we can look at the scripture and have that assurance that, yeah, there are things in here that weren't written to me, but they were written for me. Right? These are principles that I need to know, I need to understand, and, boy, they're for me. They are God-giving protection. Good point. And we see that elsewhere too. Correct me if I'm wrong, is it in Galatians where he talks about who has so quickly beguiled you? Right? That it comes up again and again. Right? It's not something new. The enemy is always looking to draw us away if there's a way from Christ. And there's two ways to do that. There's the distraction that says to turn completely away from the Lord and look at things that are of the world. Oh, and then there's the more subtle one. Oh, no, I'm not trying to turn you away from your faith. This will make your faith better. Just look at this in addition to Jesus. Right? The add-ons that really are taking away from our closeness with the Lord Jesus and from our focus on him, but have the appearance of spiritual wisdom. And the enemy certainly, and I've heard this stated before, and I think there's more truth in it than people would like to admit, that when we talk about Satan and we talk about his influence in the world, the caricatures that you see of Satan, you think of what? You think of the guy in all red with horns, scary looking, big pitchfork and a tail behind him, right? And you think of maybe different artistry involved in that. And, in reality, Satan is much more likely to be found wearing a clerical collar. Yep. Is that not true? Mm-hmm. that from the beginning, he didn't go to Eve and try to point her completely away. He just questioned, did God really say? Right? Did God really say? Is that, do you think that's best for you? Right? So the greatest lies are the ones that are couched in a certain amount of truth, that there is a certain amount of truth associated with them. So these things that have an appearance of wisdom. But it says, what about them? So they're of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. Then when it comes to, if you have a desire to live godly in Christ Jesus, this isn't the way. Now, that's a little bit of a discouraging ending to a message, isn't it? Here's not the way. The next one, and we're going to have a little bit of a break and we'll have some testimonies in between. But I don't like leaving you hanging on a negative note. So we're going to start at the same, we're going to end here on the same place that I'm going to start when we do the next message. In verses 1 and 2 of chapter 3, it says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. So he doesn't leave us with just the don't do this. Right? Chapter 3, we're going to get into here what's to do instead. Here's how to maintain that right focus. So with that, we're going to jump into some testimonies.
There we go. Now everybody can hear me. I think a testimony is just sharing kind of your story and like walk with Christ over your entire life. And yeah, so anyway, my name's Josh Blackman. I'm from Midcoast, Maine. It's really a blessing to be down here worshiping God and just fellowshipping with you all. If you were here last fall, you may remember I'm the Rubik's Cube guy, so I remember we all had a lot of fun with that. Yes, you too. So, but anyway, I'm 23 years old. I come from a Christian homeschool family, and I'm the second oldest of seven kids. I accepted Christ when I was 5 years old. Since I've been sealed in the blood of Christ from a young age, I don't have this huge testimony, and that makes it a bit harder sometimes to share when giving a testimony, like today. And there is a temptation to feel like I should have a bigger story, but the more I mature, the more I realize how much of a blessing it is not to have a huge testimony. The Lord has spared me from so much that could have negatively affected me. And even if we're not talking about living in sin, decisions made without seeking guidance in the Lord can affect someone for years or affect their entire lives. So I'd just like to reinforce to all the young adults here that in case anyone has similar doubts, it is an amazing blessing to grow up walking with the Lord and being filled with the Holy Spirit from a young age. And like, don't doubt at all that God is using you right now with your actions and just steadfastness toward him to show and encourage others. Just immediately right now. And that right there alone is a powerful testimony in itself. And you don't always see the way God will use you in situations like that. So I'm very thankful that Jesus has always been a part of my life. I remember when I was really little, my family attended several different churches over the years. Then when I was around 9 or 10, my dad started leading our family home church. And then from there, that's where I really started building the foundation of my faith. My siblings and I were taught not only what is in Scripture, but also why we can know that Christianity is the only true worldview and how we only have eternal life through grace and mercy, not by anything that we do. My mom would always incorporate scripture into our homeschool studies, and I remember my mom reading the Bible to us aloud during our reading time. And yeah, so basically just overall, my younger years were filled with hearing God's word. Then in my later teen years, I began getting really busy with college, small businesses, and just work in general. This doesn't seem like too long ago, but I actually graduated high school in 2019, so that's over 5 years at this point. And then I spent the last year and a half of high school working on college credits, and when I did graduate, I already had a full year of college accomplished. And then after that, I ended up doing another year of in-person classes at a local college, and I graduated in 2020 with an associate's degree. But I'm really thankful for the spiritual foundation that I had, because even though it was a smaller local college, the indoctrination and just pressure against Christianity is so real. Because you're out in the world. And then once I graduated, I over the next year and a half, I was working a couple different jobs, main job working in retail. I was working over 60 hours most weeks, and I got promoted to manager within a few months. And at around this time, I started working on Sundays, missing home church, not prioritizing Bible reading or spending time with the Lord. And while I never really walked away from God, I just became distracted with working full-time and chasing paychecks. My excuse was I didn't have spare time to read my Bible, and my boss was pressuring me to work on Sundays. And that it turns out that it is really hard to have a relationship with our Lord if we don't spend time with Him. And I really didn't make much effort to do that. And then it was the summer of 2021 when God began pulling me back to Him. I started having a bigger perspective on life. My work friend group had fallen apart, and I slowly started taking my faith and walk with Jesus seriously. My work schedule happened to change to work evenings. I started attending a local fellowship as well as a Bible study group there too. And several months later, I decided to tell my boss I couldn't work Sundays anymore. I slowly began to realize the difference between having Jesus as a part of my life and having Jesus be my entire life, and being willing to give every single area of my life to Him. Since then, I've just continued growing in my walk with the Lord. The process of continued sanctification and growth has been very difficult at times, but the journey through the power and strength of the Holy Spirit is, and that's how it's made possible. Some verses that I love in Psalms that are relevant to this are in Psalm 73, "Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none on earth that I desire besides thee. But it is good for me to draw nearer to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works." Looking back, it's been amazing to see the process of how the Lord has grown and matured me over the last few years. The renewed mindset the Lord gave me too, I am so thankful for. It is now a priority for me to read my Bible and spend time with Jesus immediately when I wake up and every night before bed, even if it means staying up a little bit longer to read a chapter and pray. I am so thankful for His grace and continual patience with me. I still have a long way to go, but I will keep pressing forward, running the race of endurance, being a light for our Lord Jesus Christ. And it was also 2 summers ago that I was baptized. It was really neat to make that public confession of faith and commitment to Jesus. I just continue to pray for strength to continue towards Christ, seeking discernment and seeking his truth, and for faith and trust to follow the Lord's leading in the plan that he has for my life. These words also tie well right into our Colossians theme this weekend in 1 Colossians 1, verses 10 and 11, that ye may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience, long-suffering with joyfulness. All glory be to Jesus Christ, our mighty Lord and Savior. Thank you.
Jake, would you come up? You guys know that song, I've Decided to Follow Jesus? That's about the first step in following him, but also every step along the way. So we can walk away. It's a dangerous, dangerous thing. At some point, what's your decision? You going to follow him?